Our next case is USA Data versus Data Widget and Eat Print Works International, 2022-1326. Is it Mr. Scaglione? Have I pronounced your name correctly?
You have, Your Honor. Thank you.
Please proceed.
May it please the Court, my name is Greg Scaglione. I'm appearing on behalf of the appellants Data Widget LLC and ePrint Works International LLC. The question before the Court is the validity of the 557 patent. It was presented to the U.S. District Court for the District of Arizona on a motion for judgment on the pleadings under Rule 12C. The district judge, taking all the facts in the pleadings as true, found that the patent was invalid and it constituted an abstract idea, and as a matter of law found that our claim was not plausible. That was dismissed. Other claims as a cascading effect of that determination were also dismissed, and thus we're here before you on this appeal. We're asking you to, in your de novo review, to find that we did state a plausible claim, reverse the dismissal, allow the case to proceed. I'd like to focus on the prior art. I believe that will demonstrate that this was not an abstract idea. There is references made to prior human mailing lists going back to the Civil War. Although I think that may be interesting, I think the prior art should really start with the Microsoft Pi 615 patent, which was granted in 2009.
I want to just kind of also make sure I understand some of the statements you made in your brief, if that's okay.
Yes.
Could you look at what would be page 26 of the blue brief?
Yes, Your Honor.
And at least when I was reading it, you say here in the paragraph that begins in part, you say the claims are directed to selling individually tailored customer-specific data sets, and taken out of context, such a claim would be a patent-ineligible abstract idea. Now, I don't know if I'm misinterpreting it, but it seemed like you were essentially saying that you agree the claims are directed to an abstract idea. Is my interpretation accurate?
No.
Tell me why it's not.
The context of the interplay of these three connections does result in the sale of specific data sets, but the process in which that is accomplished, I believe, is innovative in the sense that we configured a variety of machines to create a new way of inserting a data widget at the very beginning of the process so that there now are three connections. Before, under the Pi patent, there was only one connection that allowed that ultimate transaction to occur. And so we believe the configuration of the machines, three different connections, allow for an improvement in the technology or the process of the machines. So the end result is there will be a purchase and sale of data, but it's the technology, it's the web-to-print technology that facilitates that, I believe, in a new and unique way that is distinct from the Microsoft Pi 615 patent.
I thought you told the district court that this didn't involve an improvement to computer functionality.
It does not involve, in terms of the actual function of the computer, it does not change that functionality. What it does is it configures three different computer components in a way that the system is improved.
By software?
Software is involved.
Totally software?
The data widget is software, and then there are machines, the servers, that allow for the connections, and then there's APIs between the various servers. So the configuration of all of those and the connectivity of those is what we're saying as a system is new and unique and did not exist before. It's not that the computers didn't exist before. It's that the system in which they were configured did not exist before. So under Pi, it teaches that there was a single line of connection via the internet that between the customer's computer, so they're at their home or office, they're on a website, and they're connecting via the internet to the printer's server computer system. And the customer's computer does not connect or have interaction directly with the data seller. So what the PI...
So are you essentially contending that there's an inventive concept in the form of a data extraction widget and its arrangement within a system of machines? Is that your argument at bottom, an inventive concept?
It is a unique way. I would say it is the data widget placed on the web server or the website of the printer in combination with it's the plurality of APIs that then connect the three direct connections so that all three are communicating directly, bilaterally, and simultaneously. And that configuration never existed before. And that's what we're saying is the innovative concept here. So the PI patent only placed the printer server's computer was between the customer's computer and the data seller. What's missing from PI is the data widget being placed on the printer's website, and our system allows the three different connections so they can access the printer and order the types of postcards, figure out the postage. There's that connection. There's the connection directly to the data seller so that they can go in and say, I want all dentists within 10 miles of this location because I want to sell them, I want to send an advertisement to sell them some type of equipment. The other connection is between the printer and the data provider such that if that customer orders a list, it's not a stagnant list. That list can be updated by the data provider. They may update or verify addresses or a moving dentist went to a new location. In real time, that connection communicates simultaneously back to the printer after the customer made the order to update the address so that when the postcards go out, they go out with the most current real-time information. And this sense of real-time or simultaneous exchange of information between the three is articulated within the patent itself. That is at Appendix 28 in Column 2. Real-time and simultaneous is mentioned three times. This multi-directional is also mentioned in Column 2 as well. The use of a plurality of APIs configured in this unique way is in Column 1 and in Column 5. In terms of taking the facts as true that what I'm describing is unique or unconventional, I believe the patent at Appendix 29 in Column 3, therein are three examples of something that was unconventional and did not exist before, and it relates to the arrangement of the computer devices. I find it somewhat interesting, although the court can give the weight it wishes to, but the patent examiner, looking at the same material, not giving us the benefit of the doubt of accepting our facts as true, but just reviewing the prior art, found that our invention provided significantly more, that's a direct quote from Appendix 285, provided significantly more than an abstract idea. And also on that same page, the examiner found that there were meaningful limitations to the scope of the claim. And we're reviewing the same exact prosecution history and the same exact PI patent and our patent. The court found, now taking all the facts as true, found that our claim was not even plausible. And I would suggest that if the court erred, if the court had applied the correct standard, it had to come much closer to what the patent examiner found based on the reading of the materials before it, that it needed to take as true. So we believe that the combination of the data widget being placed in the website of the printer, as well as the configuration of the computers and the plurality of APIs, did create an innovative, prior non-existing process that greatly improved the web-to-print technology.
Are you arguing that the district court is somehow bound by these examiner statements you were pointing us to?
They're not bound. I just find it interesting that an examiner, under no standard to give us the benefit of the facts, looking at the same facts, made a finding that there was significant improvement that goes well beyond an abstract idea. The district judge, looking at exactly the same material, now having to take all statements as true to our benefit, found that our claim wasn't even plausible. And that's
the examiners are following PTO guidelines, which are not consistent with our law, right?
That's true, but in looking at facts, in evaluating facts, if I get the benefit at a 12C scope of, and standard of review of all facts interpreted in favor of my clients, which I am entitled to, I'm just suggesting that it's hard to believe that both the examiner and on appeal, that someone looking at the same material reached basically the opposite conclusion. And so I think with the benefit of the facts, we stated a plausible claim. I'll reserve time.
We will save it for you.
Thank you.
Mr. LaCourte.
Thank you. May it please the court. At Alice Step 1, of course, the court here de novo, as the district court below in Arizona, reviewed the patent claims to determine at Step 1 whether an abstract idea was what the claims were directed to. The abstract idea here, there's very little dispute about it, and I'll make a point of some admissions that are very important in this regard that Judge Cunningham, you noted. The abstract idea is the information exchange between an e-commerce site, a data seller with a database, and a customer for a transaction involving printing or direct mail services.
But the claims recite a system with a server, e-commerce server and a database server. These are physical items, right?
They are physical items, as claimed.
And then the widget is software. But if the widget is describing something new that hadn't been done before, does that render the claims not abstract?
No, for this reason. The claims with regard to the widget are so broadly recited that it is virtually claiming software in the fashion or function of what software does. So for the claims, there's an e-commerce vendor website that comprises a generic processor and memory on a server, physical machines, but those are conventional machines, a data seller comprising a generic database, data server, and generic processor and memory. And then the software is claimed only as a black box widget that enables direct connections. And if you look at columns 3 and 4 in the specification of the 557 patent, it illustrates the abstract nature of the widget. While the specification must yield to the claims, at column 1, line 53, the linchpin of the system, the widget, enables two-way exchanges of information. That's what software does. It is involving a single API or any alternative communication method, the patentee's words, at column 3 in the specification, or suitable alternative communication method.
Would these claims still be abstract, absent Alice?
Well, that's a very fair question. It's hard to divorce Alice from 101 eligibility, but I think even under Mayo's framework, even under the section 101 itself, the 557 claims claim generic hardware and software for the sake of communication. And that is the scope of the claims. I can't imagine a more non-inventive concept and more abstract idea. And the specification does give us an indication of the abstract nature of the claims. Before the 557 patent, a data seller and an e-commerce vendor or print shop had to communicate with each other. If it wasn't a one-stop shop, and the patentee makes it clear it never has been, there is direct communication between the two. So to your question, Judge Lurie, imagine that a conference room configured to enable direct communication between three parties, this triangulated communication method claimed in the patent, is the widget. A data seller, a print shop, and a customer, like the sandwich shop example in the specification, communicate. And all the claims refer to is a direct communication between those three parties, accomplished by what is conventional servers, databases, and hardware. Imagine the widget is a Zoom meeting where the data seller allows the sandwich shop customer to see the data on a PowerPoint slide and quote a price for it and provide it to the print shop to mail the mailers.
Did you say the court as an entity is a widget with respect to the two of you?
I would say this is a perfect example of the three-way communication, that triangulation that is claimed in the patent. My learned opposing counsel and I are two lines of communication with this panel. You have a database of our briefs. We are accessing and pointing to that data, and you are making not a purchase decision, but a decision on the merits. This system reminds me a lot of legal research when I was a law student a century ago, where there is access to a third-party database through a host site in order to find a data subset, cases cited in a brief. The point is that this court has long held in case after case that the extraction, gathering, analysis, and presentation of data from one database remote from a host is long held not only conventional but abstract. I want to point out one case that we cited in the briefs that when I read it every time, I think of the 557 patent. It is the CX loyalty case that this court just decided a couple of years ago. It was a rewards program with a remote database that contained the information about the rewards. It was a system with multiple APIs, in other words, interfaces that allowed the customer, the retailer, and the reward system to interact with communication, exchange information, and for the customer to use points directly communicating with the retailer for the purchase. If you review your decision and your analysis of APIs, both from the step one abstract basis and step two, is there an inventive concept, it reads literally on the arguments that the appellant is making here. The Electric Power Group case is another perfect example of a remote database that is used in order for the electric power grid and electric power entities to be able to communicate across networks and monitor and exchange data and act accordingly. And another case that we also cited in the briefs is the ChargePoint case. Owning an electric vehicle, I use this system. It gathers information from a remote database and in real time exchanges the information over network connections and direct connections for three parties to interact and accommodate or facilitate the charging of an electric vehicle. All of these time and again principles, concepts have been held by this court abstract. I want to take a moment to talk about the admissions and what I read on page 26 of the opening brief with the same conclusion, Judge Cunningham, that you noted. And there are more admissions from the appellant that are relevant, as one noted by Judge Dyke in regard to the hearing below. The judge, Judge Reyes, specifically asked counsel, is there an improvement to the computer technology? The answer was no. They are defined by their own parameters. This is just the widget. The admission at page 26 of the opening brief that selling data subsets in a web-to-print format is patent ineligible in some contexts, but not in our context. Well, their context is defined by the claims, and the claims are connecting servers and data for exchange with a customer to order a direct mail campaign. With regard to step two, when you look at the claims, and this again was covered in this court's analysis in ChargePoint and CX Loyalty, the claims provide the court, the finder, no basis for an inventive concept, something more that transforms the claimed system into a patent-eligible concept.
You don't think we need to get to step two?
I'm sorry?
Skip the question. I answered it myself.
Well, with regard to step two, the claims give you no, there's no saving additional feature. It's simply devoid. And I understand counsel relies on the Microsoft Pi prior art and some real-time efficiencies delineated in the specification. Those are missing from the claims. There's no temporal, real-time graphic user interface. The claims don't even relate to an API. It's any direct connection, which is any method of communication. And there's nothing that saves the claims from the claiming of abstract principles in regard to the system. And we've cited numerous cases, including the CX loyalty and ChargePoint cases, for the fact that APIs and conventional generic components taken as an ordered combination or separately do not provide the extra inventive concept. And I scoured the briefing and the argument. I've been in this case from the beginning. I've never seen a position from the appellant as what is the inventive concept except the black box software. It is software that enables three-way communication. And that can't be a 101 eligible something more under Alice and its progeny.
For completeness, do you want to respond to the examiner's statement that your opposing counsel has been relying on?
Yes, and there was much emphasis on that below and some contention that Judge Reyes below, who is, has an engineering background and is very dialed into the prosecution history, fumbled that by considering the patent implausible. That is not how I read the district court decision, and the examiner statement was given whatever weight it deserved, which we contend is very little for the following reasons. A, of course the court is not bound by the examiner statements, otherwise there wouldn't be any 101 invalidation. B, the Mayo framework and memo in 2017 that the examiner was relying on in the U.S. Patent Office is different than the multitude of data points and analyses and case law that we've cited in the briefs. C, most importantly, Judge Cunningham, those claims that the examiner was commenting on are not the claims at bench. Those claims expressly in the prosecution history had numerous references to the configurations of APIs in different servers facilitating specific extraction of data and communication. One could argue that's still 101 ineligible, but it's irrelevant because those claims are not what's before you. When you look at column 3 of the specification, the direct connections, which were the APIs in the old claim set, is any method of communication. So it's even broader than the APIs. And the examiner, of course, did not render a comment on the claims in that state. So all the more reason to give it less weight, if any weight at all. I'll only close by saying the abstract nature of the claims and the lack of inventive concept is similar to the numerous analogous cases that we've cited in the brief. And I will only point out that at no point in the opening brief or the reply brief is there any distinguishment of those cases. There is no counterargument except we said the word system enough that it should be an eligible system, and we never say the word generic, so they can't be generic. That's not how this works. There has been no reasonable reasoned distinguishment of the ample case law that we've cited in support of our positions. I appreciate the opportunity for this direct communication. Thank you. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Scaglione has some time left for rebuttal.
Just one point of further elaboration. On page 26, we do indicate that the patent is directed towards selling individually tailored customer-specific data sets. It does have that direction. But Alice, and we've quoted that on the same page, said that a claim that integrates the building blocks of an abstract idea to a new and useful end remains patent eligible. And it is those building blocks that is the foundation of our claim. Did we build upon that abstract idea in a new and useful way? And we believe we did, because never before, and they've put nothing in the record and they can cite nothing in the record, that there was ever, before this invention, a data widget that was inserted into the website that allowed for three different connections all simultaneously functioning together. It had never happened before. That is new, and it is useful to the web-to-print technology. So they want to focus on where computers designed and improved. It is the system and the insertion of this data widget and the unique formatting or structuring of those systems that allowed this to happen. And it had not existed before. There's nothing in the record to suggest that it existed before. So it at least is new. And in our brief, we cite, I believe, about 8 or 9 ways that it was useful. So we believe we met the Alice standard of building on an abstract idea in a new and useful way. Again, it is, and this is what the examiner said, quote, the inventive thrust lies within the data widget and its arrangement within the system so as to enable communication and extraction of data between different components of the systems rather than just selling data and print services. So with that, we'll submit the rest on the brief. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.
Thank you. Thank you very much.